Welcome back once again, the Relevant Friends Podcast. We are back. Today is a special episode. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I was bouncing back some ideas with John Reyes the other day. And what I thought would be cool is to do something called like a quarterly roundup. I know we're entering Q2. I think the last episode I misspoke when I was talking quarters because I'm all over the place. But I'm going to call this episode the Q2 kickoff. Now, what I'm thinking is every quarter, at the end of each quarter, we're going to do like a roundup episode, a roundup of the year, roundup of the interviews, just reflect on the lessons we've learned so far, because I don't want content to just run past you. We got to take some time to revisit it. So I think that's going to be a quarterly thing. And since we're kind of late, this is just going to be a Q2 kickoff. You know what? Let's just call it the roundup. Q1 roundup. We're just giving it to you a little bit late. And then after that, we're going to take a little break. I have to catch up on these video edits. I've fallen behind because, again, I'm a mess. And John Reyes is going to take a well-deserved vacation as well. He's going to be doing some traveling. So the rest of April, you'll be without any episodes. But do follow the Instagram and the TikTok page and the soon-to-be-announced YouTube page, because those will be getting populated while we take an audio break. But today's episode, what is it about? Well, I have a very interesting AI story, of course. I found this research that was from Arkansas University that put 115 humans versus 115 AI robots. It's really just GPT-4 responses to the test to see who is more creative, and the results are scary. And then I have several voicemails, so I reached out to people who have been on the show already, so people I've interviewed, my friends, my creative friends, to ask me a question. Ask a question for the podcast, for the people. All I ask is have it be insightful or fun. Or even a call out if you're looking for help with something. I'll reach out to the community and try to find the answer the best I can. And if you want to be a part of these quarterly wrap-ups or just be on the podcast asking a question or reaching out to the community if you need an answer to a problem that's been bugging you, or do you want to share some information? Do you want to tell a joke? If it's good, I might play it. Hit us up. Several calls to actions that I'm going to list right now. Number one would be to follow. Number two would be to rank, comment, make sure you comment, and then also leave a voicemail. Do one, do all, do a couple. Anything is appreciated. The voicemail number is 646-926-3885. And you can also send a voice note to relevantfriendspod@gmail.com, or you can send directly to me, rel.mov, or directly to Stank Palmer. Dan Palmer everywhere. That's John Reyes. Without further ado, Relevant Friends, Q1 2024. Okay, we are here. Relevant Friends, welcome back. I have two trips I got to plan for in May. Otherwise, I'm chilling at home trying to catch up on work. I have a lot of plans for the expansion of Rel and Friends, and my May will be busy, but I will be freed up a little bit more to focus more on podcast content. Fortunately, I got the homie John Reyes to pump out the audio versions every week, but the video has fallen behind, but I'm going to quickly catch back up, but I want to expand even more. So there's going to be more content coming out, but let's get into some news. Okay. So, as I was digging for stories, I've found myself recently just always looking for an AI story because there's so much out there and it's like scary and amazing at the same time. And I'm just very intrigued by AI right now. So, you're going to get a lot of AI stories, but I found a study out of the University of Arkansas where 151 human participants were pitted against ChatGPT-4 in three tests designed to measure divergent thinking, which is considered to be an indicator of creative thought.
Divergent thinking is characterized by the ability to generate a unique solution to a question that doesn't have one expected solution, such as, what's the best way to avoid talking about politics with my parents?
So one was called the alternative uses task. And in that task, participants were presented with a common object like a fork or a rope, and were asked to generate as many creative uses as possible for these objects. So that was one task. And then there was the consequences task. Now, the consequences task is a part of verbal section of the tolerance test of creative thinking that provides prompts to hypothetical scenarios like what would happen if humans no longer needed sleep? And then they would test on those responses. And then procedure. So just to give you an example, there's several different tasks that challenge the creative thinking of both humans and ChatGPT-4. Now, the responses were scored for fluency, so the number of responses, originality, the uniqueness of the response, and elaboration. So how well they elaborated on their response, which they judge by the number of words per valid response. The result, my friends, and I'm going to read this word for word. Okay, this is for all of my creatives who are curious if AI will be taking our jobs. Okay, this is the test that is kind of keeping us afloat on if that's possible. Okay, direct quote for the results. Ultimately, the authors found that overall, ChatGPT-4 was more original and elaborate than humans on each of the divergent thinking tasks. Even when controlling for fluency of responses, in other words, GPT-4 demonstrated higher creative potential across an entire battery of divergent thinking tasks.
ChatGPT-4 is more creative than humans.
I kind of don't feel like talking about the big three thing anymore. Kind of annoyed. That Cole Dreamville apology speech. I know, I guess he was being mature, the bigger person. No comment, man. We're done. I'm done covering this. I am hearing there is a song that it was recorded by 1 and 2. I have heard firsthand someone who has heard one of the songs. The direct quote was, it's over for them.
You won't never take no chain off of us. How the fuck you be stepping with a size 7 man's on? This the part with the bite, nigga, what's up? I know my picture on the wall when y'all cook up. Extortion, baby, whole career, you been shook up. Cause top told you drop and give me 50 likes of push-ups. Huh, your last one brick, you really not on shit. They make excuses for you cause they hate to see me lit. Pull your contract cause we gotta see the split. The way you doing splits, bitch, your pants might rip. You better do that motherfucking show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse, you better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say drop, you better drop and give them 50. Pip squeak, pipe down, you ain't in no big three. SZA got you wiped down, Travis got you wiped down, Savage got you wiped down. Like your label, boy, you in a scope right now. And you gon' feel the aftermath of what I write down. I'm at the top of the mountain, so you tight now. Just to have this talk with your ass, I had to hike down. Big difference between Mike then and Mike now.
So we'll have to see. You know, you're not going to hear another episode until probably after all of this is done. It's probably already dominated headlines, and it'll be 2 weeks later, so people totally forgot about it already, because that's how fast things move. So I just want to let it out now. That's what I've heard. I'm done talking about it, but I told you about those voicemails I have, so why don't we just get into the first one right now?
Calling, 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 I'm calling my brother, I'm calling. Answer your phone, I'm calling. Conversation. My words connect, my mind connects to York, and we connect. Answer.
What's up, Rel? Enjoying the Rel and Friends podcast, and, you know, thanks for having me on as a guest. So I have a question for you because, you know, you've been asking us a lot of things, but during your journey, there's obviously been ups and downs. Maybe I'm curious from you, when you had maybe one of those challenges or one of those down times, what was the mentality that you used to get through it?
Okay, I'm going to pause right there. So this is Brian Tong. I interviewed him. It's my old coworker. We created a lot of early internet video stuff before there was a YouTube. We did a lot of early in the tech world. I think his video dropped on like Christmas Day. It was like around that time, like late last year. Very cool interview. It was fun to catch up. But his question was, during a tough time, what was my thinking that got me through that? So my toughest time career-wise was definitely during the pandemic. I was at a job that I was not happy at, felt overworked, underappreciated, underpaid, undervalued. I've had these dreams of starting my own agency. I never really, you know, took any action on that. At home, you know, this is peak pandemic. Just had our second kid. The house was a mess all the time. I left my job, and the first thing I did was just have conversations with friends. Brian was one of the early conversations I had, but I also had a conversation with Tomas, who was the first interview of this podcast. And he said something that really stuck to me. This was at a time after, like, I had some other job opportunities, like post leaving the 9-to-5, like my first instinct was to go look for jobs. And there was one that I really wanted and I ended up not getting it. And then I spoke to Tomas and he's like, yeah, that means that wasn't for you. And he brought up a quote that you may have heard me say on here several times, but he said,
rejection is redirection.
Rejection just means that wasn't the path for you. That wasn't the only path. There's several paths, and that wasn't the one for you. So now you get to redirect your path. You know the ultimate path you want to get at. Find a new way there. And that kind of like just made me start thinking like, okay, maybe finding a regular 9-to-5 production job is not the move for me right now. Maybe I need to redirect my thoughts. And that was really what kept me motivated, was that like this new way of thinking about rejection and failure. I stopped fearing L's because I knew that anytime I took an L, it was a learning opportunity and a way for me to redirect my energy in a way that makes more sense, that's more calculated, that's smarter, that's more creative, that's more optimal. So yeah, that's what got me through those tough times.
To follow that up, now that you're independent, doing your own thing, you know, what do you do to kind of spark yourself to stay creative and stay creative in that space? Because as someone who's independent, I know sometimes we have to grind because it's part of our job to, you know, we have to pay the bills. So we can't always be maybe as creative as we want to when we're just on our own. So I'm just kind of curious, what do you do to help spark that as well that you can say out loud? All right, bro.
Thank you for the call. In every project I take on, all of my client work, I want to leave there being able to say that I did the best I can on that project. So with every new project, I try to make it my favorite project. It doesn't always end up like that, but like you do end up in a great space when you think like that. And then you're constantly challenging yourself to get better. So that's how I approach staying creative while doing contract style work. But then outside of that, you know, I always have to have some sort of personal project that I'm working on. And right now it's the podcast. It's Real and Friends. I'm looking at this as everything in one, gives me a chance to catch up with friends, create some cool content out of it, sharpen my sword. Every week I'm editing these cool little pieces and John is putting together auditory gold. Okay, next voicemail.
Hi, Ariel. Jamie here. I've been enjoying your podcast so far. I love all the creative insight and hearing about everyone's journey. It's super cool. My question for you is, how do we as creatives stay competitive in this changing climate? I know more of Gen Z is representing the workforce and us millennials, we're getting older and a lot of us have young kids. And me personally, I end up working after their bedtimes till like 12 to 1. If you have any editing tips on how to be more efficient and stay competitive while also caring for my kids, let me know.
Okay, let me pause right there. Jamie has a two-part question as well, but I want to spend time on this first half. So I am also a parent of two. I know Jamie is a parent of two, and we both do freelance production work. Okay, first of all, video editing is time-consuming, and I don't think there's any other way around that because you have to watch this footage over and over again. You're always going to have to deal with some sort of technical thing. Some technical thing happens all the time. You just got to be ready to fix that. And then there's always going to be an ask for something that you're going to have to learn. So yeah, it takes time. I would say for efficiency, just make sure you are negotiating that time ahead of time. So you do have to do a lot of pre-planning, and I'm not one to speak. Actually, Jamie's way better at that than I am because she is actually a production manager. I am the annoying creative that doesn't follow deadlines and rules. So there's that. And also, I want to say, like, and this is just a message to all of my OGs out there, don't be intimidated by the Gen Zers. Don't be intimidated by the iPhone shooting, jump cut editing, beautiful cinematic shooting Gen Zers. They're making great stuff. The only difference is that the new generation has access to everything, whereas it was a process just to get access for our generation. The thing that we have is that we've been doing this for a really long time. And with anything, putting in the hours is the most valuable thing to have. Like real hours, like where you're constantly trying to grow and learn better ways and more efficient ways of doing things. There's the young creatives that are just like natural talents out there. But, you know, we have the knowledge. So I would say start working smarter. However you interpret that, what I noticed in my contracting career is that when I was, you know, rel, videographer, and or editor for hire, my rates were very fixed. They didn't go anywhere. It was very hard to negotiate for higher rates. But, you know, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. It was cool. Like, I was getting gigs. Like, that was a dream. As you get older, rel, the shooter editor, is no longer rel, the shooter editor. Rel is the creative director at Art of Storytelling. Now, I'm still shooting and editing things, but now I have a listed number of services that I could provide that maybe I don't even do myself. As a matter of fact, a lot of stuff that I produce through Art of Storytelling, I'm not really doing. Like, I have a team of contractors that I work with. But guess what happened? That, say, $5,000 gig to hire me as a shooter editor became $15,000 gig through Art of Storytelling, the production agency, because we didn't just provide the shooting and editing. We also provided, you know, advising and pre-production and multiple crews in different locations. That's really all based on who you know and how you strategize around that. That comes with seniority. So just remember that. That's for my OGs. Okay, so let's jump into the second part of Jamie's question.
Also, a fun question for you. What would you be doing if you didn't pursue video? All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, Jamie. If I didn't pursue video, I can go off on a tangent on this one too. So first, to back up on why I pursued video. When I was in college, this is going to sound so lame, but like I was just all about hip hop. Like, where was the hip hop spots to hang out at? What on TV was showing hip hop? Where can I listen to new hip hop? Where can I shop for the clothes to look more hip hop? You know, where are the hip hop parties? Who's performing in the city like this week, next weekend? Like, it was all about hip hop. So when I'm choosing a major at school, you know, I'm instantly thinking like, what can I do professionally that's actively a part of hip hop? I later found that through some friends that I met in college and eventually picked up beat making. But when I was looking for a major and looking through that book full of majors at SF State, and there was a picture of someone holding a camera. And at that time, there's a lot of Hype Williams music videos, and I was like super into it. And I knew those were big budget videos. I wanted to produce those. I saw someone holding a camera, and I was like, okay, that's how I become that. So I say that little story just to say, if I didn't stumble on that page, if at that moment, you know, somehow that page was ripped out and I kept scrolling, what else would have caught my eye? I'm really glad that this is what happened. And yeah, if you're into universes and stuff like that, I really do think there was those key moments like that where the universe guided me in a specific direction. Okay, let's get into another voicemail.
I was wondering if you can share with us your creative process. For example, for motion design, my creative process usually starts with sketching, and then storyboards, style frames, animatic, rough cut, and then we iterate from there until we hit the final cut. Sometimes we skip steps depending on what's needed or if things are already decided on. I was just wondering what your creative process looks like.
Thanks. That's my brother, Aries. He didn't introduce himself, but that's my brother. If you can't tell, we have the same voice because we're twins. And that is the only reason why he has not done the podcast yet, because he said it'll sound weird because it'll sound like one person talking to themselves. And he's right, but we'll work around that. Everybody hit up Aries, tell him he needs to get on the podcast. We'll add an effect to one of our voices. But his question is a creative process question. So for context, Aries is a motion design an animator. He works at Lucid, does a lot of cool motion graphics for them, really high-end motion stuff. And that's his very specific skill set that he thrives in, is motion and animation. So in my process, I think if we're talking about full-on production, like each one has its own creative process. So the pre-production phase has its own creative process. Production phase, or you're actually shooting, there is kind of a creative process there. And then post-production has its own creative process. So I'll just talk about that. I'll talk about editing specifically, since that's the area where me and Aries kind of align, because we're brothers.
Give me a high five!
So post-production, so video editing specifically. Okay, so my creative process when I approach an edit, I'll use this gig I have coming up as an example. So I'm going to be going to Vegas covering a tech summit for a week. They want a recap video of all the highlights. They've given me key moments to make sure I capture key shots that they want. Otherwise, it's all up to me. So my approach there is make sure I get all of the key sound bites that they want and all the key shots. And then from there, I just look for whatever else I think is good that could complete a story. And at that point, like we're talking about editing, all of that has been done. I'm looking for all those points that I shot. I have organized all the footage, have my sequences set up. I'll start looking at all the footage first, picking out all my key shots. So at the same time, while I'm picking out my key sound bites, I'm also picking out my favorite B-roll that I'm finding. I start a new sequence and dump all that in there. I try to dump them in as best as I know where they're gonna fall in the final edit. So when I'm done sorting all the footage and looking at my new timeline, I have all the best stuff in one timeline. And from there, I move all the B-roll to the side. I know that's the best B-roll, I'll go back to that later. And I just start working with those sound bites. So trim the sound bites, trim them down, trim out the ums, trim out the big pauses, make it sound good. Next step, music. You go straight to the music. And Nat sound. So I treat Nat sound as music as well. Okay, so what are some Nat sound moments that sound good? Maybe it was like a big roar from the crowd or a big laugh. Put those in there. And then what you're gonna do is create an audio piece. Okay, you're not even worrying about picture. So you use moments from the show. If it's hype, you wanna have some hype music, and you change it up to a slow moment where the music, you know, is brought down. Maybe there's some Nat sound moments, whatever, to tell your story. And then after that, I insert B-roll, put in titles, put in little effects, whatever, and voila, you have a rough cut that's going to get picked apart and turned into something completely different by the client. Frustration. Not just kidding. that shouldn't happen if there was a fair amount of pre-production. But that's my process. I hope I didn't bore you because I went into some straight detail, but that was also some straight game. Next voicemail.
Oh, damn. I'm confused now. That message kind of threw me off. Is this the right hotline? Sounds like, anyway, you know what it sounds like.
Okay, let me pause this real quick. If you're confused, it's because that's Milan. That beats me. I just interviewed him a few episodes ago. He's confused because there's a new voicemail intro when you call the number and you see his reaction. It really threw him off. If you want to hear it, you have to call in. I'm not going to play it for you. That number is 646-926-3885. Call in and leave a voicemail. I want natural reactions first and then get into your question. All right, the rest of Beats Me's question.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? All day, this DJ Beats Me. I'm a professional DJ now. That's all I do. But I'm trying to get my DJ career to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, I'm doing little small little bars. I got a Saturday, which is like the top pinnacle in the DJ career business. But I'm trying to pump it up, trying to get to the next level, trying to DJ for, you know, award shows and street festivals and Giants games and, you know, maybe even for an artist or something like that, you know, I mean, opening up for them while they're on tour. So just some information, if anybody knows, some advice on how I can get to that next level. All right? DJ Beats Me, 111 Nookie. King Beats Me on Instagram. Yeah, all right, for sure. If you got any information, let Ariel know.
What? I am Ariel. I'm Rel. All right, Milan, you're confusing me now. Okay, so the question, let's stay on topic. The question is, Beats Me is a full-time DJ. He wants tips on getting himself to the next level. I'm not a DJ, but many of my friends are DJs, so maybe I should call one of my DJ friends. Let me see. I'm going to call. Let's see if Boogie Brown answers his phone.
What's going on with you, man?
So I'm hitting you up because I wanted to see if you can answer this question I got from this voicemail on the podcast. Do you have a second to answer? Okay, I'm recording you now, by the way. Okay.
Oh, yeah. One take, Jake.
Yeah, one take, Jake, while you're driving. Okay, so this guy, you know him actually. I won't say his name, but he's a DJ. He's a full-time DJ. He makes a living off of DJing. And he's wondering how he would go about expanding and, like, getting more and bigger gigs. Like, what is the approach to take? Because I think he's feeling like he's kind of stagnant right now. What advice would you give this person?
And I would actually kind of clarify, you mean bigger gigs as far as like nightclub, like big, more high profile gigs, or like bigger gigs as in like monetary?
I think monetary. I'm thinking more monetary, but also like he did mention like he would want to do like, you know, Giants ballpark games or even corporate gigs, or, you know, I think it's just more clientele, but it does sound like he also wants those big ones too, those big like highlight gigs as well.
Yeah, I think with anything, it's gonna be who you know and the connections you make. But as far as corporate gigs, man, I wish to start doing corporate gigs way earlier, because that makes DJing a little bit more feasible in the sense that it gives you the glimmer of hope that you can actually make a living off of it, which is off corporate and wedding gigs. Now, I was talking to Amp before. This is when we were on this, like, huge, like, wedding run, like, three weddings a month or something like that, and we're like, man, the money's good right now. And we're comparing it to nightclub gigs, and I kind of get going by this motto that Amp told me. He was like, you know, the nightclub stuff is just charity work.
Yeah, it's some fun charity work, I guess.
Turn right on O'Hara Street. I mean, And I love it because you still stay tapped in, and you can still, you know, see what the crowds are loving and what they're not liking. But also at the same time, the club is kind of where you get your future work from too, because it's a lot of people who work in different other industries that may enjoy what you're doing there and apply what you're doing at the nightclub to their particular genre.
Yeah. So it's kind of like advertising yourself there at the club.
Exactly.
Networking. So it really comes down to all to the network, but the clubs is kind of like the source of the network a lot of the times, right?
Yeah, I feel, man, it's hard to say, because even myself, I haven't done like a Giants game. I haven't done anything like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something I've actively been chasing, but at the same time, you know, it'd be nice to do. So I think I might be the bad person to ask.
Yeah. Well, I don't think D Sharp would answer my calls, so I just called you. Well, you got the weddings on lock. You got the club scene. So it's really network is the main answer, right? Is knowing the right folks.
It's really the network, and for me, it's kind of apparent. You know, when you talk to somebody, sometimes it's very surface level where they're not really getting to know you, but maybe you might be in a position to put them on or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, at this stage, I really like genuine relationships.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think a lot of bigger things have been built on genuine relationships.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think even on my end, like with the video production work that I've gotten, like the best gigs come from like people I have genuine friendships with, because like we can be real about everything.
Oh yeah.
All right, that was a live impromptu answer by my homie Boogie Brown. He is a very talented DJ, and we continued on the call. That's why there's a quick abrupt ending, but we have some cool projects that we might be working on. Stay tuned. But my man Boogie Brown, he's a very accomplished DJ, very notable in the San Francisco nightlife circuit. He also is very highly recommended in the wedding space. If you're looking for a turned up wedding, that's the guy to call. Also does sound for corporate gigs. So I would say he's very accomplished, even though he's trying to downplay his achievements. He's been doing this for a very long time. So I thought he would be the perfect person to answer that question. And of course, his answer was, it's all about your network. I can also agree with that. So Beats Me, I think the answer is like Beats Me is such a personable person. He's always happy to make new friends, new friendships, and create a larger network. So the short answer is just keep doing what you're doing, man. I know that's like no one wants to hear that answer, but DJing is a long grind. It's a long, steady grind. And if you do it and do it right, it gets better and better. That's the goal with anything, with any kind of creative endeavor. It's just keep going. And as I always say, just fall in love with the journey, not the goal. That way you're constantly staying happy no matter where you are. And then just take time to look back, to reflect and appreciate where you have come, to fulfill those dopamines and to really appreciate the hard work that you put in. On that note, we're going to wrap up this Q1 episode of Relevant Friends. Thank you to all my friends that participated in today's episode, but even also just during the existence of this podcast. I am very hype and excited to take a little bit of a break these next 2 weeks off, because I will not be taking a break. I will be grinding on this podcast. I have dedicated these next 2 weeks to just work on podcast stuff. Everything else is on hold. During that time, we'll be doing a whole lot more interviews. I have some good ones lined up, some folks I've mentioned in the past that I haven't been able to record, and a lot of new people that I have not mentioned that I've reached out to that are down. So I'm going to try to collect all those for up to the next Q&A show, and then we're going to go on a steady schedule like that. All right, I need you guys to do all the things. That means follow, like, subscribe. And I also need you to hit the voicemail. That voicemail number is 646-926-3885. I think people are having a better time sending voice notes over. So you can send that voice note over to relandfriendspod@gmail.com. You could also send it directly to my text. It's a lot of my friends doing it. So you got my number, hit me on the text with a voice note, or even on IG, ariel.mov on IG. Hit up Stank Palmer, John Reyes Stank Palmer on all socials. And have you guys a lovely couple of weeks. See you in May.
Peace.